Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it. Take it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground, and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric Hultgren, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. Happy Groundhog's Day, everybody. We will start with a new segment that Ken wants me to now call.
Hold on. It is Groundhog Day.
Yes, it is.
Which also means it's Eric Hultgren's birthday. So happy birthday.
That's very true. Thank you.
You and Punxsutawney Phil
yes.
share this day with one another. He comes out of the ground. He looks for his shadow. And then we know it's time to celebrate your 67th year on the planet. Congratulations.
That is true.
Congratulations.
I am a very young 67, and I'm very excited for you're only as old as you feel. So we are starting on the show this new segment that I would say we like to call, except I was told what to call it. So Ken wants to call it The Ways in Which Ken is Right. And this week, The Way in Which Ken is Right is brought to you by Casper Mattresses. When you need a... I'm just kidding. We will start not with a Casper endorsement or a Squarespace endorsement. We will start with how Ken...
Well, no, if you need a mattress, head out to Mattress Firm.
Sorry, we'll do your endorsements from your other job.
That's what I'm saying. You go to Mattress Firm. Have you ever been in the store? It's color coordinated. It's always a pain in the ass to buy a mattress. But they basically set it up. It's firm, it's plush, and it's medium. So once you know which type of bed you want, you've cut out 2/3 of the store and half of the shopping experience that is a pain in the butt is gone. So head out to Mattress Firm and find out more at mattressfirm.com.
And make sure you ask for the Ken Evans special.
Right.
Is there one of those? I'm assuming there's one
of
those.
The extra wide bed.
Got it.
For all the bitches.
Yes. There's actually a sign with Ken on it that shows.
There's a picture of me and Floyd Money Mayweather next to each other on top of the bed because those are the beds we both roll in.
Correct. So
anything else?
in this segment, we'd like to talk about how last week Ken said the only fight to make was DC versus Cormier, and the UFC intern who listens to the show said...
Oh, wait, no, Stipe versus Cormier.
Sorry, yes. Stipe.
Although, I mean, you know what? If the UFC's into cloning... we've got some fights we can make, bro.
Fair enough, yes. Stipe versus Cormier. The intern listened to the show and said, that's a really good idea, and told Dana, who then did it immediately. I mean, I think it was an hour after we did the show.
Right after the upload. Would have had it up a little earlier in the day and had that thing set for the weekend, but we were both busy, so sorry that it took so long to get that match done. But that is next. That's the next marquee fight, and I'm not trying to dismiss anybody else in the UFC right now, but man, we're looking at that. That's the 4th of July weekend show, correct?
Yeah, yes, or as myself and Luke Thomas have been calling it, the last time you need to watch UFC in 2018.
Or will it be the first time you really need to watch it after now?
Maybe, but so it is a huge fight, and I want to get back to the fight in just 1 second as I point out why I say that, is because that card is, right this very second, made up of 3 super fights taking up 6 weight classes.
Now, there's a lot of supposition, though, in the other title fights. Is there not? Because there's going to be an undefeated finale, I know that week, because they're going to do International Fight Week again. And then, obviously, on the 7th, we're going to have the main UFC pay-per-view card. I know a lot of people have talked about, the other 2 championship fights that are possible for this?
Well, the only one booked, so to your point about supposition, is Stipe and DC. Is the only one booked. But the rumors right now are Nunes and Cyborg, so that's 2 weight classes right there, and TJ and DJ, another 2 weight classes right there. So you've got light heavyweight and heavyweight taken up. You've got bantamweight and featherweight at the women's division taken up, and you've got bantamweight and featherweight at the men's division taken up, if all of that falls in line.
Now, what's interesting about all of that supposition is that, yes, we do involve a lot of weight classes and basically 6 championship belts, if my public school math is correct.
Yes.
It doesn't necessarily affect all 6 weight classes as directly as 6, obviously, championship fights would, but you would have to have these guys sitting for a while to get into camps to do all the things they need to do to train, then the medical suspensions after. You would have to deal with the fact that, you know, if you've got some of these other divisions, who's DJ fighting going up for Holloway?
No. Demetrius Johnson is staying put. The rumor is that Dillashaw is coming down.
Okay. Obviously, you're going to have situations where you could have champions lose in fights. A lot going on there. I don't know. I get that everybody really loves looking at that poster and saying, what if? But, man, I don't know. Maybe it's just me looking out for the good of the UFC. I feel like that'd be one of the most idiotic things to do with this card at this point. It would be a waste of those other fights. I don't think you're going to add a dollar or a dime with the DJ fight. Or what's give me the other fight again? I'm sorry.
Amanda Nunes and Chris Cyborg.
Not another dollar, not another dime. You're not going to stack any. Not that people won't pay for those fights separately, but the people that are going to pay for those fights, guess what? They're already buying DC and Stipe.
Yeah, I will counter you just slightly, because that's one of the things that both DJ and Dillashaw, I'm going to have to stop calling him TJ so people get less confused. So DJ and Dillashaw have both said, like, look, we want a big money payday, and the way to do that is to attach ourselves to something ginormous like Stipe and DC. So they might want to do that one for sure. But yeah, if we do the what if with all three of these fights, I just think what we've been talking about and what I will talk about with the UFC on Fox trend, you're seeing that we're not necessarily living the high life, right? Like, we're... If Bitcoin is the UFC trajectory right now, like, we're at the bottom part of Bitcoin right now, and July seems like it's going to be pretty cool, but then after that, if you don't get Brock, if you don't get Connor, if you don't get whatever, I don't know what you do for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I mean, we've obviously got a couple of championship fights coming up. Or I guess they'd be interim. I see, that's the other thing too. I'm losing track with some of these fights. We got the interim middleweight championship,
correct?
Which is going to be Rockhold and
Romero,
right?
Yep.
So that's coming up, which is sort of interesting. The other one is obviously Ferguson Nurmagomedov, which isn't an interim title, but the winner's the champ.
Even though
we're not taking away Connor's belt,
right?
Okay, all right, whatever.
I always say everything is marketing. Dana always says everything is a negotiation, constantly.
Right. And you know what? That card, I'll be honest, I'm probably going to buy that card because I think we get to see Namajunas and Janjercek again, right?
Yep. Yeah.
That's a rematch. So that's an okay card. I got to wonder, though, like, what is even the idea for 224 at this point? What are we at, 225 or 26?
26 is DC Stipe.
Okay, so I know that it looks like right now 24, all we've got is it's going to be in Brazil, possibly with Cyborg, which could be interesting. And then I don't even see where 225 is lined up at this point. They don't even have it booked, essentially.
So that would be,
obviously,
it's
in June.
It's June, right? Yeah, but yeah, they've got nothing.
We are thin. So when you look at these cards and you look at the, and I'm just talking about pay-per-views. I'm not talking about fight nights. I'm not talking about on Foxes, which I don't think are really going to pick up a lot of steam with Emmett Stevens and Poirier Gaethje.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, these are on Big Fox in the year. They're trying to get a deal done. This seems like insanity.
Well, and you know, when we get to that, I've clearly a lot of thoughts, but keep going.
Well, I'm just saying, if you take a look at how pay-per-views are set up right now, and the fact that 225 doesn't even have a date, let alone a fight even rumored to be attached to it, I think that the fact that these fights are being postulated and people think they're going to happen, I think would be ridiculous. I'm not saying they're not going to. The UFC's done crazier things, and God knows, maybe they do this and they try to shoot for the moon and give us a Mayweather pay-per-view price of like $89.99 or $99.99. Because honestly, I think I'd probably pay for it at that point if they've got a couple extra fights on there. But I think they're better to spread these championship fights out and see if they can build some of these guys into stars. Because really, I don't care if you say you've got three super fights on that card. It's really only one super fight because we've got two people that we kind of care about at this point, and that's Stipe and that's DC. The other guys, yes, they're champions in their divisions, and there's been talk of going up and down, and I understand that DJ's probably the pound-for-pound best fighter in the world. Guy hasn't really sold a single ticket. So they're not super fights just because they're champions in different weight classes. And I think it would be a big waste to use those fighters on this card. You want to make those fights? maybe I'm okay with it. I think you can make an argument that that's not the best idea still, even with these fighters possibly headlining their own pay-per-view. I might be okay with it, but I just, it's weird. As a fight fan, of course I want to see all the fights on one card. But, you know, also as a fight fan, I don't want to go back to the days where we were 4, 5, 6 months in between UFCs that we really cared about. When you go back, as long as you and I have been watching, sometimes it took that long. And we want to look in those rose-colored glasses and look back and go, man, wasn't that great? Remember how long it took to get to Liddell and Ortiz and how thankful we were? It took too damn long. Took too damn long to start to get in some of those fights.
Well,
we damn near missed some of the fights that we should have seen, including like Couture and Liddell and things like that, because these fights were taking 6 months to get made just for pay-per-view events. And I know we have more now, but what do we have that really garners that large of an interest? I don't want to wait 6 months to go, hey, Eric, I didn't watch that crap on Fox on Saturday. I'm sure it was entertaining. I had other crap to do, so I didn't get to watch it because I already invested freaking 10 hours the week before watching Bellator and UFC.
Right. Well, and that's what I was going to say. It's like, it's even a little bit odder that you have, it's 6 months between things that you might care about, and there's 112 events in those 6 months.
Exactly. And I get it. There's a lot of fighters, and these guys are getting paid, and this is good, and nobody's saying the UFC is going broke. But, man, you got to wonder what in the heck is going on here if they actually put this card together. Let's get a little more to the actual fight, I think, though, because we've got them opening as – we got Stipe as a slight favorite. Not a major favorite, a slight favorite over DC, which I find kind of interesting. Vegas knows a lot there. And a lot of people were saying there's no way that DC can even come close. You saw what John Jones did to him a couple times. Now he's going in there with a heavier guy. I think it's interesting how close the odds actually are at this point. I think I saw Stipe at minus 180 and DC at plus 110, which is pretty much a 110 either way is almost dead even.
Yeah, and I don't know.
Who wins? Tell me right now, Eric. Yeah, right now. So 6 months out.
Here's the thing that I would say is, when you look at that first round, and we're gonna have to play ridiculous MMA math, and I know that, so bear with me for a second. If you look at that first round of Ngannou and Stipe may like. As you said last week, was the coolest guy in the octagon at that moment. However, there were some really terrifying moments in that first round. And mm-hmm. I don't know that DC is going to frighten Stipe in that way at all. But I do believe right now at this point that one of the most interesting parts is what we were talking about last week, is that DC being one of, if not the best competitor in the UFC, I wonder if he can take care of those microaggressions that happen that leave space that Ngannou couldn't because of he's only been doing this for 4 years and had 7 total fights.
Yeah, well, here's one thing that I think doesn't play well for DC is the fact that we saw Stipe take the shots that he took and look like he did at the end of the fight. I'm not saying DC can't ground and pound a guy. DC is not going to land a shot the way Ngannou did. He will not. I mean, that's just not his game. That's not how he's going to play. Now, can he get in that phone booth, as we like to talk about, and start landing some dirty elbows and some close fists and just really muck him up a little bit? Of course. But he's not going to land a big shot. So we've learned a big thing about Stipe after that Ngannou fight. More important, learning after looking at Stipe after that Ngannou fight is like, damn, he can take a punch. He can take a hit. So that would not be a way that DC's going to win. And that's not usually how DC's going to win. But, I mean, even in the Ozdemir fight, he was able to win with the TKO. I don't think something like that is necessarily going to happen in a fight against a guy like Stipe. I mean, he loves subs. He obviously, you know, wins a lot of decisions. He's a guy that can grind, and I think it'll be interesting to see when he's fighting against a guy like Stipe if he can grind that bigger guy. Because, I mean, this will be the first time in a while where you could say, depending on how he does the cut, that he's going to be the smaller guy. So he could theoretically be the guy that is in there with more of a gas tank and be the more athletic of the guy. And of course, Daniel Cormier is a great athlete, but to call him more athletic than most of his opponents, especially at light heavyweight, would have been something I think most people could have taken an argument with. I don't think that would be an argument in this case against a guy like Stipe. And let's not forget, even though it was very, very dominant, a newcomer like Francis Ngannou took Stipe to the limit. He took him to five rounds. And other than fighting, I think back on the Mark Hahn fight, maybe that was the last time he went into the fifth round. And then the Junior Dos Santos loss, he obviously went five rounds. He's not been a guy that's gone long in fights, even as the UFC heavyweight champion, other than that fight against Ngannou. And again, that's a newcomer. That's a guy who really, you know, composed himself well and did amazing things considering his level of experience and what you might expect out of the UFC heavyweight champion of the world.
Yeah, and I just think this is going to be a difficult one. Only because...
For Stipe?
No. I just think a difficult one to call because even though there's, what, a 20-pound weight difference, Stipe, like you said, he's got a granite chin. You're not going to win that way. And what makes this interesting, though, is what DC brings that Ngannou clearly doesn't have. In fact, like if you look back at the people that Stipe's fighting, right? It's essentially striker, jiu-jitsu guy who wants to be a striker, back to Junior Dos.
Are you talking about Verdum walking into the punch?
Yeah.
When you said jiu-jitsu guy who wants to be a striker?
Correct. You know, so he's not really fighting guys that use wrestling the way that DC uses it, which is one of the things that I think makes this interesting. Not that Stipe can't wrestle. That's not what I'm saying at all. Stop sending me hate email. But this is a different type of opponent than what he's currently been plowing through as he's been defending his belt.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's a guy who wants to go in there and grind. And if you go through that list that you just mentioned, is anybody who walked into the cage with Stipe a guy that said, you know what, I'm going to go in there and grind him out? Not a single one at this point.
No, most of them
not
are
a single one.
Most of them are headhunters, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, maybe Gonzaga back in 14. I mean, he did take him five rounds. He didn't win, no, but I mean, that might have been the one guy who I thought maybe wanted to go in and kind of grind him out a little bit. But even Gonzaga back then was a bit of a headhunter, so who knows? And that was always one of those things we didn't really know about Stipe for the longest time, even with all of his wins and a couple of those decisions. Until Ngannou, we didn't know really how tough his chin was. We know it's a granite chin now. We know it's going to be a guy who's not going to get popped. And the other thing, too, Daniel Cormier knows that. He watched that fight. He was sitting cage side, essentially, because he was there at the event. And then he got to watch it afterwards, and he got to see what happened there. So Daniel Cormier, probably one of the smartest fighters there is. And I think he's going to employ that game plan that he had in the last Jones fight, which, again, he lost that fight, but he lost because of John Jones' explosiveness, his athleticism, and possibly John Jones cheating. But I think that game plan was dead on. He was crowding John. John was not comfortable. John did not look good in that fight. Let's not remember, that fight wasn't as one-sided as it seems simply because of the quick knockout. Again, all the credit in the world going to John Jones up until the point that he cheated. But, you know, John did what he had to do to win that fight. John was not winning that fight, though, if you go back and watch it, if I remember correctly.
And I don't think you're wrong. And I think one of the things that you took away from the Ozdemir, and we talked about this a little bit last week, but I don't think we dwelled on this part. One of the things that you take away from the Ozdemir fight is you finally understand, and we talked about this leading up to the John Jones fight, is that when DC gets tired, his tell is he leans into essentially where your shin kick would knock him into next Tuesday, right? Mm-hmm. And in the Ozdemir fight, you see why, because his body is so conditioned to do that rear foot trip on the lead leg, which is what he took Volkan down with and ended up ground and pounding him. You see how that manifests itself. Now, at nearly 40 years old, can you untrain yourself to do that when you're tired? Probably not. But
does he get tired first? I have to wonder.
Well, you've got to wonder that, and you also have to wonder, is Stipe the guy that's going to head kick you into next Tuesday?
I mean, I think Stipe's got a little bit of that in him. He is the UFC champion of the world. The more interesting part of this,
I mostly just meant kick wise. Like, not that he couldn't beat you, but like, he's not a kickboxer.
No, that's what I meant. No, he's not a kickboxer. But I mean, he's thrown a couple kicks here and there. My other point of interest, so to speak, in this fight is obviously Daniel Cormier hates freaking cutting weight. I knew that was going to probably play into the fact that we would see this fight sooner rather than later. And every time he was coming out, you got the damn towel out. Like, DC's got to be new to make weight. That does not seem like a healthy way to keep fighting as you approach 40 years old.
But a super sexy way to cut weight, for sure.
Yes, definitely the sexiest of all. I was like, who is that up there? Is that Misha Tate? No, that's DC laying in. Damn. You thick. But I think one of the more interesting things is, like, of course, DC's going to be relieved. I don't have to do that weight cut. Does that, though, hinder him in a certain way? Is he not in the shape he should be in? Does he do something different in the camp? Does he end up putting on too much weight to where that gas tank isn't naturally bigger than it should be because he's fighting the heavier guy? It's going to be really interesting. He's a guy that fought at heavyweight. He knows what he's doing at heavyweight, but you have to take into account that he had to kick his own ass to get into shape to fight at light heavyweight. You have to wonder, now that he's a little bit older, now that he doesn't have to worry about the weight cut, if that's going to factor in at all. He's a pro. He knows what he's doing. Your gut reaction is like, nah, it's not going to really affect him. But we've seen guys do dumb things on occasion as they're in training, as they do different things and realize they're in a different weight class. We saw, I mean, who was the, not that this guy's Daniel Cormier, who's the guy that kept going up in weight but kept missing weight still? I forget who that was. He missed weight like three times at, what, 170, went up to 185 and then blew weight still?
Yeah.
Because he got overconfident that he had another 15 pounds. Who was that? I can't remember who that was.
Wasn't that Gastelum that did that the first time?
Yes, Gastelum.
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't he go up in weight and then he still blew weight?
Still blew it, yeah.
I mean, and he had 15 pounds of cushion, so not saying that DC's Kelvin Gastelum, but DC's been fighting a long time and had a long storied history of terrible weight cuts.
Yes,
as
but
far
I,
as how he feels.
I guess what I would say about that, though, is this is an Olympic caliber medalist.
40-year-old.
40-year-old. Hang on. Who understands, because not only what he does in his workouts and what he does in his training, but what he does as an analyst, understands that you're seeing in the modern world that fighters that fight at natural weights are tending to be a little bit more successful. And so I don't think he's going to sit around and we'll go straight Nurmagomedov, right? I don't think he's going to sit around and eat tiramisu because he can.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's not forget, guys, he beat Josh Barnett, who outweighed him by 35 pounds. This is not a new thing.
Ragdolled Josh Barnett.
Who outweighed him by 35 pounds. This is not a new thing. And I think him at natural weight allows him to have a better camp, or seemingly should, because you don't have to worry about that one aspect of the game, right? You checked that box. I just have to show up.
You don't have to do anything weird with your diet. You don't have to weaken yourself, any of those things.
You can eat an entire chicken every hour of every day
if that's the problem. If he goes Tony Atlas, eat a chicken, old school MTV, I am a wrestler days.
Yes.
He's going to be in trouble. Is Tony Atlas alive?
I don't know, and I also don't know that you could eat enough chicken between now and July to be more than 265 pounds.
Huh. By the way, Tony Atlas still alive. Congratulations.
That's hilarious. And
I mean, it's not hilarious. It's pretty amazing. He's a 63-year-old pro wrestler that made it through the 80s.
It's a rarity, dude. It's a rarity.
Jesus, man. Vince should be trotting him out every week on TV instead of freaking DX again. How many times we got to see badass Billy Gunn in his bald spot?
Right. See, I always have the bigger problem with Road Dogg. That's the one I have the problem with.
See, I respect Road Dogg as an agent and how he can put together the matches, so I'm good with that.
Okay.
Fair. Anyways. Speaking of wrestling, should we talk about the other big MMA news of the week not in MMA?
Do we have to? But yeah, sure we can.
What do you mean do we have to?
Yes, we can.
Ronda, this is a pretty big deal. This is a very interesting thing.
It's a huge deal. It was the worst kept secret, I think, in the world, but a huge deal.
Did you watch this live?
I did not watch it live. No, I did not. I had other stuff on Sunday, so I missed the Rumble. But Ronda Rousey, I mean, look, guys, if you're not a wrestling fan, right, when they invert the two rumbles and do the guy rumble first and the girl rumble second, like, you just sort of know that something big's going to happen. And two things big happened, right? The winner of the rumble in both rumbles was huge, at least for pro wrestling history. And then you got the debut of Ronda Rousey, which was huge. As somebody who casually consumes the product and has watched wrestling for most of his life, I didn't think it was the most interesting way to do that, but it was a huge deal.
Yeah, the other interesting part of it is obviously looking at the situation, and I'm going to extrapolate a little bit because some people are probably going, why are we breaking this down? Well, one reason is to simply note the stardom and the drawing power she still has. She was on every single sports show that night, not the next day. They didn't wait. ESPN had people at that arena because of rumors, which doesn't happen ever in WWE.
No, it does not. No.
And they were there to cover Ronda Rousey, former MMA champion, making the jump to WWE. A couple of things that are interesting and applicable here in our little worldview is the fact that WWE believes in her so much that they put her in that spot, which is a pretty big spot, which is coming out pointing at the WrestleMania sign. Does she end up fighting for a title off the bat? I don't know. We don't need to really break down WWE booking and whether or not she should tag with somebody or be by herself or whatever it is. But I do think that we have to notice that she signed a long-term contract with WWE, which means WWE is definitely keeping an eye on things UFC and knowing where these people are and testing them out on occasion. She was out at WrestleMania a couple years ago. Let's see what happens. Crowd reacted huge. Let's bring her out after the Royal Rumble and see how the crowd reacts. Crowd reacts huge. The way that all plays in is the fact that when you're looking at these TV deals, when you're looking at these money deals, when you're looking even at free agency and talking about Brock possibly going back and forth, UFC and WWE are hyper aware of each other. That's never been a secret. Now we're seeing some transitioning over, and when people are done with the fight game or maybe don't want to be in MMA any longer, there can be an option if you can bring some charisma or some star power over. I think the one thing that really speaks to, and I don't know if this guy's going to be traveling around the country like Ronda says she's going to, but you have to think about that when you think about whether or not Conor McGregor still wants to fight. I mean, he's a guy that loves publicity. He loves to be on TV. He loves talking to people. You think he wouldn't take a Brock deal where he's in a couple times a year?
Yeah,
and doing something like that?
I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. What I really thought was interesting about this deal, and I only casually read a story about this, and I wanted to get your take, because, again, we're not going to break down booking or any really much more of the WWE after what I'm about to say, is that my understanding is she signed a long-term deal but isn't on TV weekly because she's going to be, like, busting her ass learning how to do this art form.
Well, yeah, I'm sure some of that has to take place at this point because she does train a little bit. There, Shayna Baszler is in the main WWE roster, who obviously used to fight MMA. I don't know if she technically could still consider an MMA fighter or not. I think she had one fight in the UFC. Wasn't that right?
One or two. She was part of the four horsewomen.
I think it was Nunes who beat the crap out of her, right? Or was that
No, wasn't Betch it Betch Carrera? It was Betch Gohea, right?
Yeah, Betch Carrera. So I mean, she's got friends that know how to do it. But, yeah, I mean, here's an issue if you're jumping to WWE. You just can't jump in and not know what you're doing. So, of course, there's going to be some training there and some things that are going to happen for Ronda Rousey to be a full-time professional wrestler and be on the road and do those things that wrestlers do.
And for everyone, she lost to Betch Gohea and Amanda Nunes. So.
Oh, okay. So we were both right.
Yes.
She got the crap kicked out of her two ways from Sunday.
Yep.
So there you go. So then you go to WWE. So, I mean, again, I think a big story simply because of the mainstream coverage. I think also a big story when you kind of, I mean, let's go put all the podcast puzzle pieces together. We talk a lot more about business on this show than I think a lot of podcasts do. And if you take all of these things and you put them together, you know they're hyper aware of each other. You know the audiences are looking at each other. We're about to talk about ratings, I think, on UFC on Fox. This all plays into the fact that UFC is in a weird, weird position coming off their biggest year ever just a year and a half ago at this point.
Yeah, and so as we make that transition, this past Saturday night, it was UFC on Fox 27, a spectacular first-round knockout of Derek Brunson by Jacare Souza, but nobody watched it. It was the lowest rating in series history. the lowest rating in series history. Now, guys, they are celebrating an anniversary year. It's a 25th anniversary. If you go back and go, well, lowest in UFC history, yeah, but like that's anomaly. It's an anomaly, right, Eric? Well, except for UFC on Fox 26, the one before it, was the third lowest in series history. So you're not trending in the right direction here. And when you compare these two events, Ken, yes, there was other stuff in December you could have watched. There really wasn't much to watch on Saturday night.
No, we were in the week between the Super Bowl and I should say the playoffs and the Super Bowl. It's a freaking dead zone for the most part. You've got NBA basketball and NHL hockey. Those are very localized as far as audiences go. As far as national appeal, you had a couple of guys fighting on TV that night that really didn't have anything they were competing with, and it did not do well. And I mentioned it earlier because it almost sounds like I'm joking just to put together weird main events, but the next UFC on Fox, which is coming up in a couple weeks on Saturday, that is UFC on Fox, Emmett Stevens. Emmett Stevens. It takes me a minute to remember who is what. Now, I'm thinking that's probably Jeremy Stevens. Oh, yeah. I go on Wikipedia. I'm right. Ah, Josh Emmett. What? That's your headlining on Big Fox. I'm not joking. Then Poirier Gaethje, April 14th, the next one on Big Fox. Is that drawing in a ton of viewers? I'm not taking a damn thing away from any of these fighters.
No, the one thing
this is the Big Fox card. Yeah, this is supposed to be the big heavyweights and the light heavyweights and champions, former champions. Those are the guys you want to see on these cards.
The one thing I would say to you, Ken, is the Poirier Gaethje is your chance, your nuclear option if you're the UFC in hopes of having a Forrest Griffin, Stephen Bonner event happen again, because these two guys are going to murder each other, right? So if it can go longer than a round, you might get people that tune in to check it out. Now, that's a terrible business decision to roll the dice on a guy who just got knocked out in Justin Gaethje against a guy like Dustin Poirier. However, with that one, I'm with you on the pick of getting people to, you know, check it out casually. I just think that might be their April nuclear option to get people to roll in who are like, oh, my God, what's happening on Fox right now?
Okay, but here's the difference.
Okay, but you're an idiot, so here we go.
No, you're not an idiot, but I am surprised that you just made the case for that.
No, I'm not making a case. I'm just saying how it might work, but go ahead.
Okay. I'm surprised you're even discussing that as a possibility, simply because the dynamic at this point is so different than 2005. You know what's going to happen if, let's say you're watching that fight, Eric, and you're like, oh my God, Poirier Gaethje, this is Griffin Bonner too. Holy, I can't believe, I got to tell Ken, I'm going to text him, because we're all texting now, because we didn't text back then.
Right.
It was 2005. We're talking about 13 damn years ago. You're going to text me, you're going to go, this fight's insane. I'm going to go, no shit, this fight's insane. Can't wait to watch it tomorrow on the internet. I got to go back to what I was doing. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, no,
last time there was hardly DVRs, and we never knew when that fight was going to be on TV again.
Yeah.
And it was really, and here's the other thing too. I know that they made themselves huge stars at that. Let's not forget, a lot of these guys that first season, The Ultimate Fighter, it was so successful, were already stars. So you tell me that two of the UFC superstars, and I don't think you could argue that unless you – I tell you who will argue. People who weren't around back then were starting to get that old, where we're going to have 20-year-old dudes arguing with us about they weren't actually the superstars in the UFC. I will tell you, damn near every single cast member on The Ultimate Fighter the first season was as big a star as Chuck Liddell or Randy Couture or Tito Ortiz back then.
Well, and let's remember, you know, for those of you who might be listening who weren't into the sport back then, how's the saying go? You're more than welcome to your opinion. You're just not more than welcome to your own facts, right? Like, it's an undeniable fact that Forrest Griffin and Stephen Bonner, that fight changed the trajectory of the entire sport. That's
for sure.
That's not for debate. That's a fact, friends. Now, I'm not saying that what they're doing in April is going to do the same thing. But if I'm booking, I'm seeing the styles of these two guys and thinking, maybe I can buck the system, Ken. And maybe because we're live sports, maybe, just maybe, people will tune in the same way that, like, look. And I'm not saying that the two sports are at parity, but in the same way that the NFL on Fox will go to a game that's close when they've got some time in between the early game and the late game, right? Like,
right.
Because the live sport element, you can catch this thing and not have to watch it on Twitter or Instagram or wherever you catch it, either later that day or the next day. But understand, Ken, I'm not planting my flag. That's not the hill I'm going to die on, that this is a great plan to, because I'm looking at the numbers and going, if you're trying to renegotiate with me, you're straight up Bitcoin right now. You're losing $8,000 a day in negotiation as you're going closer and closer and closer towards the end of the year. We're already in February, and your first two at-bats are the number one and number three worst viewed thing you've done on my network.
Well, here's the other issue is if I didn't know better, I would think UFC had another deal already, and they were riding this out. I just don't believe they do, because that's what these cards look like.
Yeah,
they're
no,
just
no.
Gonna ride out the big Fox cards.
Yep.
Hey, we got our new deal coming
up. It's back when we both worked in radio, right? This is when you roll out the greatest hits as your last record on the label, right? So you can move on to the next thing. We made a greatest hits record, did one live new track, and we're done. Like, yes, that's what this looks like.
So I don't know. It just, I mean, if you're basing that on the 2005 Ultimate Fighter fight and hoping you get that, it's just, you know, the star power is not there. It's funny, too, because I don't dig these out a lot. But, I mean, man, that was a – everybody knew everybody on that cast for the most part. Koscheck's on that cast. Diego was on that cast. Kenny Florian, who still to this day we see on UFC TV, was on that cast. Nate Quarry, remember that?
Yep.
That guy was going to be the next big thing. Chris Lieben, until Anderson took him apart, was a big, big fan favorite. So much so that Anderson took him apart, and he still got like five more fights in the UFC. I mean, remember, Anderson took him to school, made him look like an elementary school student. Bobby Southworth, Forrest Griffin, obviously, on there, and Stephen Botter. Mike Quick-Zick, remember him?
Yes.
Mike Quick-Swick, I should say. I said Zick. And then, of course, the coaches, they actually wanted to win back then, too. Like, Liddell and Couture were trying to win. They weren't, like, throwing doors at each other and acting out. They were trying to teach these guys how to win.
Well,
and Ultimate Fighters.
To circle this all back, dude, you might see that with Stipe and DC. Like, they're not going to throw doors at each other, right? Like, they're two grown-ass
here's
men.
Here's the difference. Yes, they're going to take it serious, and they're not going to try to hype the fight necessarily on the Ultimate Fighter. But the difference here is it is no longer the format that it was.
No.
Chuck and Randy knew that not only were they competitive and trying to win, but they also knew that this was the biggest format the UFC had given them in history. So obviously they're going to try to make the most of that now. If you put a gun to my head right now, Eric, who were the last coaches of the last season of the Ultimate Fighter? I'd have to hand you my will and say, give this to my wife, because I have no idea. No idea. I'd probably guess Ronda Rousey, and I'd be wrong.
It would not be Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'd hope maybe you didn't know either, and then we'd just both go on with our day.
I can tell you this. I certainly would not be able to tell you what number it was, but I believe it was it not Eddie Alvarez and Justin Gaethje? I don't know what number it was.
I just told you gun to my head, let alone just here on a random ass podcast on a Friday. I'm not going to know anymore. My life was just on the line in that scenario, and I didn't know, Eric.
It was
Eric's Googling. We need Google music.
Yeah, we do
it's
need
time
Google.
To Google, because we don't know these freaking coaches.
It was UFC The Ultimate Fighter 26 is what it was.
Oh, my God.
Justin Gaethje and Eddie Alvarez. So I at least knew who they were. Had no idea what number it was, though. So.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, I'm sure Gaethje will bring all those Ultimate Fighter fans into the UFC on Fox. Gaethje versus the other guy.
Dustin Poirier.
I like Dustin Poirier. But, man, this clearly, is Big Fox. What are you doing? Big Fox.
In other news, there is a UFC this weekend as we go to Bellum with the return of
Bellum.
Lyoto Machida.
Oh, is that in Brazil?
It's in Brazil.
Okay, good.
So Lyoto Machida taking on Eric Anders, who missed weight, I should say, by nearly 2 pounds. He finally made it on his second attempt. But, yeah, so that's... Well,
Bellum's in Germany.
Is that Germany? Sorry.
Yeah, I just thought because Machida's there. Isn't that near your homeland?
I'm not German. I'm Swedish.
Right, yeah, it's like a block away, right?
No, it's in Brazil, dude.
What, is Bellum's in Brazil? Well, there's a Bellum in Germany, too.
Okay, it's in Brazil. Stop
right.
trying to throw
there's
me off.
There's one in Malaysia as well.
Well,
maybe we're all around the world. Maybe this is very WrestleMania 2.
They're going to
the UFC. We're going to have multiple venues.
They're visiting all of them. So anyway, you can catch that this weekend as Lyoto returns. turns, whatever. I don't know.
Oh, my God. Hey, remember when Joe Rogan said he didn't know how anybody was ever going to beat Lyoto Machida? I don't know, man. Not with those karate kicks.
He to this day will say that's the worst thing he's ever said on television is the dragon era or whatever he said. The era of the dragon is here, and he's like gets beat an hour later. Like, he'll to this day say that was the dumbest thing he said on TV.
So, yeah. UFC Bellum, ladies and gentlemen, butt scoot your way to the arena,
yes,
as it is in Brazil.
Make sure you pick the one in Brazil, because the other two places it's not happening.
Okay, so yeah, exactly. Although you might have fun in those other two places. Brazil? Yeah, I don't know. Take some water with you,
yeah,
and no money. One more thing that could save the UFC this year before I think we end this and let Erica get to his festivities of drinking whiskey all day, which is why I assume you take your birthdays off.
That is why I take them off, just to drink all day.
So I'm going to give you a name, and this name could almost single-handedly put the UFC into the black for 2018.
Okay.
You're not going to like this name. You're going to sigh when I say this name.
Okay.
Floyd Money Mayweather could put the UFC into the black.
Yeah, he certainly could. And it's
Eric held in the sigh. Well, I'm glad we Skyped this because I was right. You were holding it in tight. Your neck like bulged there.
Because it's like, you know, it's one of those things where I understand what's happening, and I'm with you. I think this would be huge for the UFC. It would be huge for Floyd. But I don't know, like, let's pretend for a nanosecond that this is all real, right? That we're not living in the Matrix, and this is some weird video game where Floyd steps into an octagon and then runs away. Let's pretend this
Let's reset just for those who haven't seen it this week. If you've been on our Facebook page, you've seen it. A lot of speculation this week because Floyd Money Mayweather posted a video, I believe, to Instagram, possibly Twitter, possibly both, of him getting in the cage, looking at the camera, and saying, Floyd Mayweather, 2018, MMA. Basically, that's what he said. I might have that slightly off, but those terms were all in there. And he's walking into a cage, and he looks like he's about to start training MMA, and he's got the MMA gloves on. So now there's all kinds of supposition. If he fights in 2018 in MMA, who's he fight? Who's he fight for? Does he promote his own stuff? Can he even fight Conor, which is the only fight that would probably make him a lot of money at this point? Because UFC, that's where they hold all the cards with Conor. It was one thing when they wanted to kind of co-promote the boxing thing and cash in whatever they cashed in, their $50 million, their $100 million, whatever they took from that pot. It's another thing when, hey, no, we've got the guy under MMA contract, so you come to us to deal with us now.
Yeah, and I guess what I was getting at is, okay, so let's pretend all of this is real, and let's pretend the only fight that makes sense is the fight we're going to do. I just don't understand what chance... We're back to earlier last year when we were talking about this, right? Like, with Conor, what chance does he have in a boxing ring? Like, what chance do you have when you add all of the other weapons that you cannot possibly learn in 6, 8, 9, 10 months?
Well, he couldn't learn the one thing in 6 months or whatever he took to fight Floyd Mayweather. And he still was able to do some things in that fight that were unexpected. Floyd can say all day that he strung him along and he figured out timing, and he probably did. I'm not denying that. It's one of the best boxers on the planet. Yeah, there's no chance at all. But the one thing that can make this happen is the same thing I told you 2 years ago when everybody was poo-pooing the Mayweather-Conor boxing match. There's a lot of money out there. And if there's anything that guys in Vegas love, it's money.
Yes.
And I'll tell you what, Floyd Money Mayweather may be from Grand Rapids, Michigan, but he is a Vegas guy. Not only is he a Vegas guy, he's a guy who apparently manages money with one checking account, and up until he just made $300 million against Conor McGregor, still owed money to the IRS. So let's not be too sure that his financial situation is totally solvent.
No, and it,
at
look,
this point,
hang on, and like that's none of those things I am saying. His financial situation has likely never been solvent, which is why he's taken these fights that are all of this big caliber to keep this ball rolling. I guess what I'm saying is, do you think right now, if we're playing fantasy matchmaker, is it legit MMA, or are they adapting the rules?
That would be the one thing I would have to think there might be something. I don't know if you make it more of a kickboxing. I don't know what you do. Here's the problem. And I know these guys are businessmen and they flew on the plane together, but I've seen what Conor McGregor does in a cage. And what I believe Conor McGregor would want to do in the cage is elbow the living shit out of Floyd Mayweather, which isn't a good idea for Floyd Mayweather. I mean, this isn't going to be the fight that we saw with Randy Couture and James Toney, where Randy just kind of wanted to stay out and not even get hit. And then get down, take him down, and choke him out, which, as we all know in MMA, is basically the nicest way to take a fighter out. You know, it's the most humane way.
Sure.
That you can fight somebody. That's not what I think Conor McGregor would be looking to do. One, he's already taken the punches. Remember that fight Randy had? And these are really the only two instances we have of this. And I know they're kind of leagues apart in prime and all of that stuff. But Randy Couture never took a punch from a guy like James Toney. So he didn't want to take a punch and just risk it. Because, I mean, that would have been terrible. That would have been a disaster, actually, at that point. I think that's why everybody was so damn nervous about that fight. Because nobody thought Toney would win. But, God, if he hits one punch. How many times has Conor been punched now by Floyd Money Mayweather? A lot.
Yep.
However many, a couple hundred punches in that fight. He knows he can probably get hit. Yeah, it's a smaller glove, but he also knows he's wearing a smaller glove.
And
think he would want to.
Remind me, what round was that called? 10?
What do you mean? I think it was 12 rounds.
Did they go all
12? Oh, no, yeah, it was called in the 10th.
10th.
Called in the 10th. And he didn't even go down. He didn't go down. He wasn't bloody like the New York Times said. He clearly should have had the stop fight. The fight stopped. But he knows what he's dealing with Floyd, and I don't know what rule set you could put in, because, I mean, the obvious one is, like, no takedowns. Guy's never going to learn takedowns, never going to learn jiu-jitsu, can't go to the ground. But, oh, my God, I think he would get murdered with knees and elbows.
Well, okay,
like,
so, like, but let me...
Takedowns, no elbows. What are we doing, just wearing the gloves at this point?
Well, okay, so, but even if
that's
you go...
That's the only chance Mayweather has.
Even if you go no takedowns, does that mean I can push you against the cage and do a stand...
That's what I'm saying.
Do just a standing head and arm choke? Because I don't have to take you to the ground to choke you out.
No, I don't... I think the thing that happens here is Floyd's trying to keep himself in the news and maybe put himself in position for another payday. I think this all comes down to, how did Floyd manage that money? How did those people around him manage that money? I mean, Mike Tyson was broke up until a couple years ago. So let's not think these guys, you know, are always able to save their money. I know there's a big difference, and I commend Floyd for making his own money for as long as he did and the way he did. Problem is, Floyd loved to spend money.
Yeah, well,
he had a lot of people around him. I mean, how many times were we in the room with Floyd? Where, I'm not even kidding, Eric. There were 100 people that looked like they just moved with him from here to there. I guarantee you those dudes aren't doing it for free.
Yeah, well, and you know, that's always been the struggle. When you get that kind of money, you just start doing silly stuff like that. Like, you, what's the story about, what's his face from Pirates of the Caribbean? Like,
Johnny Depp's broke.
He
spends $2 million a month
on security, right?
Right.
Like, or crazy stuff like that. So, I just think you get in these places where you're making, you know, what they call in tech world, and we've said this 2 weeks in a row, like the ransom money, where you're making so much money, you just think it doesn't matter. And then you wake up in a year and you're like, oh crap, I'm out of money.
Well, and let's not just, and it's not just on security or bling or things like that. We know he's giving money back to his community.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people, that doesn't get played up enough, I think. And, you know, the fact that you and I have both been in Grand Rapids know that, hey, he has given a lot of money back. But, you know, that's not what's on SportsCenter. That's not even what Floyd doesn't necessarily play it up all the time, too. He does give back a lot. It's just one of those situations. I don't know how Floyd's doing money-wise, and that's the only thing that's going to actually make this fight happen, because Floyd's going to have to suck it up and realize he's about to get murdered. Because I don't know, maybe somebody can tweet us or Facebook comment, what rule set would even work at this point other than just basically changing the gloves?
Well, yeah, because if you just change the gloves, I mean, are we saying no elbows? We're saying no takedowns. We're saying no kick. So it's a box. But even if, and we'll kind of wrap it up here so we don't do this for an hour, but, like, even if that's true.
Next week, a special 3-hour edition,
yes,
of Conor versus
totally
Mayweather.
Fine. I'm totally
what
down
rules?
With that. Even if you don't have the ring is a different shape and you don't get pulled, there's no ref to pull you out of it.
Yeah, I mean, the clinch fighting is totally different. I mean, it just there's nothing that can happen in that cage that goes well for Floyd Money Mayweather. So, it's all going to basically break down to the finances here. Does anybody want to see Floyd box again? If they don't, who knows? Who knows at this point?
I wonder, you know, and I wonder, and I'll, let's leave it on this question, and we'll take your suggestions, guys, in the comments on Facebook or Twitter, and then we'll come back to it next week. Would it be wise for them to put him against somebody as a tune-up fight in order to get him used to the cage? You know, because if you're the UFC and you
he's got to make a lot of money, though, in that tune-up fight.
Hang on. But if you're the UFC and you can get him against a person that he could probably trounce on that isn't going to do takedowns or whatever the rules are, you could build up that Conor fight in a way that you couldn't the other way. I don't know that you can. You're not going to have the empathy for Floyd that, oh, no, he doesn't know the sport. Whatever is he going to do? Look at how cool it is that Conor McGregor, 0-0, amateur boxer, now fights Floyd Mayweather. Right, there were some, the people that were on his side had some empathy to the thing he was about to do, right?
Right.
I don't think you have empathy coming the other way.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't think you do. I don't think you do, but I think I know who's going to be fighting. CM Punk.
That's a great fight. Let's totally do that.
We got to do something with CM Punk, right?
We don't know. Let's be clear. We don't got to do nothing with CM Punk. We don't got to do nothing.
Want to talk about, let's go back earlier in the podcast. Everybody's paying attention to who's doing what.
Yep.
They made a lot. Look, as much fun as you want to make of that fight with CM Punk, he made the UFC a lot of money that night.
Yes, and I think the only way, to your point, and now we'll stop here. To your point, I think the only way you fool everybody twice is if that's what you do.
Which is perfect. How have we given them two perfect fights in 2 weeks?
Dude, if they book this fight tomorrow, being February 3rd, like, I'm going to tell y'all this that listen to the show regularly. I thank you for it. If they book this fight tomorrow, a day after this goes up, we're charging you $20 an episode. I'm just telling you, we're making our money back at this point.
Because you know what? You're 100% right. That's the only fool you twice. That is the only fool you twice there is with CM Punk.
Yes.
And that's putting Money Mayweather in there.
Yep. So there you go.
Oh, man.
All right, friends, have an awesome weekend. Enjoy the Super Bowl or Super Bowl parties or whatever you will be doing. That is Ken Evans. I am Eric Holcren, and this is Way of the Warrior.